Truth is something that is always there. always been, sometimes in the Christian scriptures, always was, always will be, always remains the same. So that is truth. So there is one truth, that is that we are Jiva Yasuru Manuji Krishna. No matter what body we have, no matter what situation in life we have, that is our only identity. And all the other identities that we take on by way of association with the material energy in terms of this body, family, country, so many other qualities and characteristics and activities are all new bodies. Bodies means designations that come and go. And this is important to understand because in accessing the mercy of the Holy Name, we're accessing our, we're trying to regain our eternal relationship with Krishna. It's not about, you know, making spiritual advancement. It's about coming in contact with our real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. So preparing our consciousness is a day-to-day thing. It's an actually a moment-to-moment thing where we're trying to invite Krishna to somehow or other come into our life. He's already there. And there's no question. He's there in so many different ways. But he becomes interested in a very very direct way when our consciousness is in the right moment. So chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the recommended way to both invite Krishna into our life and to prepare our consciousness to invite Krishna into our life. So we're trying to prepare our consciousness in order to receive Krishna. Krishna's mercy and Krishna's grace. Who knows the difference between grace and mercy? They're similar, but there actually is, Prabhupada actually gave a distinction and definition between grace and mercy. Any guesses? Any transcendental guesses? Less transcendental guesses? What's the difference between grace and mercy? Yes. Mercy is specific and grace is generalized. Pretty good. According to Prabhupada's definition. It's practically true what you say, but there's one other. Mercy is something that by acting in a certain way we access it. And grace is something that just comes by way of the person who's giving the grace. So grace is more causeless than mercy. According to Prabhupada's explanation of the difference between both. So in our practice of Krishna consciousness, we're trying to not position ourselves, but to cultivate a proper legal devotion where mercy is coming. And if we cultivate that proper legal, even if there is some, what we say, lack for a certain moment or a certain situation, grace will always be there. Because Krishna will see that one is seriously trying to get his mercy, so he bestows grace on us. That's Krishna. So, chanting the holy names of the Lord, Prabhupada was asked, why do you chant Hare Krishna? He said, to associate with Krishna. It's good association. If you want to associate with somebody, then you always choose that person who can maybe resonate with some of the things that you need in life, or somebody who actually has similar personalities or can give you some inspiration. But Krishna is the best association. So chanting the holy name needs to prepare our consciousness to actually bring in Krishna into our consciousness. Now, roll up on my Irish. Mother Donna Kelly very expertly presented some very poignant, I guess the word is poignant, statements on how to position our consciousness in such a way that we can access the mercy of the Lord. Of course, the mercy of the Lord comes in the endeavor of chanting when Krishna is pleased. But there are certain things that allow us to be in the right consciousness to approach the Lord. Now, even if those things are not in place, if you're in the right consciousness, Krishna is not going to manifest anyway. Because he sees your heart. Even if you're chanting the holy name. I mean, the acharyas say, you know, it's interesting because shastra is never consistent. Why is it inconsistent? Because there's so many dynamics to relationships that allows for contradictions to be correct. On the material level, something is or it isn't. And something is black, or something is white, or something is, hot, or something is cold. There's what we say predetermined definitions that people accept about material. Now the spiritual platform, something can be one way and actually be the other way also. But the acharyas give us certain recommendations, just like in chanting our own names. Prabhupada makes one statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adi Lila, I think it was chapter 17, like verse 34 or something. He says that one should chant Hare Krishna very clearly and distinctly, avoiding the hissing sound, and pronounce it very clearly using the upper and lower lip. Really quite mechanical explanation. So it's like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So one man is chanting sticky, 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 and he dies. And he wakes up in this land. And there's a man there. Actually, there's two men. And he says, "Who are you?" See, my name is Sticker. And this is Room. You've been chanting our name. So, according to scripture, you get the, your destination. Well, it's almost like that. Not quite. That Krishna's only, he actually sees your heart. But still, one should try to clearly pronounce the name. Why? Because it's for your benefit in terms of concentration. When you can clearly pronounce the name, then the ability to concentrate on the sound becomes much more accessible. Much more. When you're not pronouncing, what is an indication? It's really an indication you're not really concentrating properly. Or what you're trying to do, you're trying to finish your vows. Let me make one statement that I somehow or other, through my own experiences, seen as one of the most detrimental obstacles in chanting properly. And Mother Donna Kelly mentioned it this morning to the minister, the idea of trying to finish your vows. She used the example of Prabhupada through his deep balance and now we can do 16 rounds, you can do it again. Well, Prabhupada was explaining that it's not about finishing. It's about absorbing our consciousness into the sound. But the nature of the, what we say, restless mind is to go forward. You're on, you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're not on the bounds. It's jumping ahead, it wants to keep going. It's thinking in terms of finishing. And that's why Bodhisattva has made this point in a very, very repetitious way, that one should very carefully hear one mantra. What does that do? That allows the mind to focus on sound. Why do we go too fast, or why do we instinct? Because we're not really thinking or hearing the mantras nicely. We're not thinking, not meditating. So, someone asked me one time, what is the speed of your chanting? How many minutes should it take? So, basically, if you're chanting between 7 and 8 minutes, the one thing I always say is that the first round should take a lot longer. That round, you should chant very methodically, where you can connect the sound with the consciousness of the sound. And if you listen to Srila Prabhupada sharing japa on the japa tape, he does that. He starts all very slowly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And gradually, as the mind catches the sound, and the mind becomes more connected with the sound, then speed automatically increases. And one is hearing also at the same time. Okay. So, one of the things that destroys that is the idea of let me finish my hours. Radhanath Maharaj has said this many times in class. If you're trying to get your rounds done, that's what you'll get out of getting your chanting on your rounds done. That's all. Some kind of achievement that Madhavana can get. Good report card, but not really. It's your own understanding of your report card. The real report card is being evaluated in a different way. So forget about it. Now you're thinking, 32 rounds. Oh, God, I'm looking at 32 rounds. That's going to take a long time. I usually do 16 rounds, and that's a chore. Now you have to do twice as much. Alright, Krishna, here I come, 32 rounds, ready to go. And then after the first couple of rounds, 31, one down, 31 to go. 2 down, 30 to go. I'm getting there. But don't worry about getting there, just be in the time frame you're thinking. That's the most important. This thing about being here now is actually a feature of life that makes life happy and successful. Apply it to anything you do in life and you'll be successful. The consciousness of the average person is that they lament about the past and they dream about the future. And they're always in anxiety about the present. For a devotee is thinking how to make the best use of each moment that I'm in. And that way, by doing that, the future takes care of itself. We just have to project into the future. We can plan about the future, but the basis of that successful planning, or the plan that is the most successful, is based on what we do in the present. So we have to live in the present. Now, the mind won't let you do it. I can tell you all these things, but your mind won't. Once you start chanting, once you start focusing, your mind is going to say, no way. You're going alone, I'm not coming. Call me when you're done. But at the same time, he's not taking the background. He's coming in there and making other programs. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, just to illustrate, what is the nature of the mind? He says your mind is a non-devotee. So if you associate with a non-devotee, we heard some of the things about avoiding association. So we have to make the mind a friend. Now, what works in terms of Java that Maharaj pointed out, he says, when you persist at something, the mind resists it more. The more you persist, the more it resists. And that's a fact. You persist on trying to become, what we say, absorbed, the mind will keep coming in with so many other things. And it's interesting how you can somehow, even if you deviate for a second on some thought, that thought will lead to another thought, and that thought will lead to another thought. And pretty soon, you know, you're like in downtown Chicago buying, you know, clothes or something. You know, it's just like, it's like that. You just go from one thought to another, and pretty soon you're gone. So how to avoid that? Here, the sixth one is neglect the mind. And Anakil Maharaj put at the beginning of Mukherjee. She spoke like Maharaj this morning. I was really impressed by that. Sorry about the issues in my shop. She spoke really clearly and concisely and very shastric. So she was mentioned in that verse from the fifth canto. The canto, 11th chapter, 17th verse. And Prabhupada writes, there's one easy way to control the mind. It's called neglect. So you want to leave your mind behind when you chant. It's not like making friends with the mind when you chant. You can't. It's not going to work. You just got to push it away and leave it somewhere else. Or where else are you going to be? Because you need your mind to function. That means you have to, as Prabhupada was asked by one devotee, Prabhupada, when I chant, I can't control my mind. What is this question of mind? Just here. So here's the point. Just here. Take your mind into the sound. Or take your consciousness into the sound of the native Krishna and focus into it. When it goes off for some reason, bring it back. Just catch that sound. The sound of Krishna's name is Krishna. And as we bring our consciousness into that sound, more and more, actually the mind actually starts to like it. And then what happens when the mind starts to feel happy chanting, and then it says, oh, you're doing good. And then what happens the next minute? You're off again. It's a cheater, though. The mind is just a cheater. Once you get absorbed, then it starts to say, hey, you're doing all right. You got it. That's going good, really good. I don't mind coming along. And then the next minute, because you're thinking I'm doing good, you know, that's how the next one is. Humility. That one has to be in the mood of hearing it, but at the same time, in the mood of submission and praying for the mercy of the Lord. So combine these two moods, attention and calling for the mercy of the Lord. When Krishna appears in some form, in the form of your chanting, just absorb yourself more in his sound. And be grateful for his mercy. Don't think, well, now I've come with a holy name, and now I got it down. As soon as you think like that, Krishna died. He leaves again. Because he did the name. It's not like you can bring, you can come with a holy name. You can prepare your consciousness to receive Krishna in the form of the name. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. So in chanting the holy names, we want to call with what we say humility or helplessness. Helplessness is an expression of humility. We're helpless. We're begging for the holy name. Now, that begging isn't within the heart. It's not like we make an external show. Just don't want to go on the ground and cry like a new job. It doesn't look so good. People will not understand. So in your heart, or in your deeper consciousness, you're in the mood of begging. And a beggar is a person who is willing is just expecting someone to give something nice to them or something beneficial. So whatever comes to the beggar receives in a grateful way. So that's the mood of begging. We're praying and begging for the person to appear in the form of his name. But it's not by our techniques that's going to do it. It's by our consciousness of praying for it. And keeping your consciousness as best you can on that side. And every time the mind comes in, even if you like what the mind is saying, see what the mind will do, it's tricky. It'll give you think, it'll fight you at first. And then when you start comforting over it, it comes in with nice things. Just to attract you in another way. Because you can't make, you know, it's like, if they say, you know, what is it? Something about sweetness. If you capture somebody with sweetness rather than by harshness. But it's a sneaky kind of sweetness. It's like false praise or something. So the same way our mind is going to be full of plans, but just keep pushing it out. Don't listen to the mind. Just keep your consciousness on the sound and observe yourself in that sound. And if you feel Don Quixote was explaining how there's three types of inattention, Vikshepa, Avalakshina, and Jagya. Now this Vikshepa, distraction, comes in different forms. But sometimes people say, well, if it comes, I'm thinking about how to serve, like I have some service to do, so I'm thinking the best way how to serve. And the Holy Name's given me some intelligence on how to do my service. But still, although that is somewhat Krishna conscious, still, and you missed the point of the chanting. The chanting is to focus on Krishna and the sound of the chanting. And that's where we get conscious to be absorbed in Krishna. So, and this is more of a less deviant form of Vikshepa, but it's still somewhat of Vikshepa because it distracts our attention away from things. I remember in the old days, we used to joke about the devotees chanting. We said there was three kinds of japa. That is japa. Japa that is not japa. Ajapa. One is called radar japa. One is called jibber japa. And one is called daipan japa. Sure you all have some experience. Radar japa is like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. Nice song. It includes that whole Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's checking out the whole radar, not missing anything. Who comes in, who goes out, and then chanting, but it's called jibber japa. There's some temples that are really good at jibber japa. Because I travel a lot, and devotees are different from temple to temple. So some places they walk together, hey, you know, and yeah. That sounds interesting. So I'm trying to manage rather than doing job. You're a manager now. People come up to you and say, you're a manager? Well, I'm achieving what's more important. So talking, like, the ideal temple I've given is in Chalpa. I'll give you an example. The whole temple is filled with devotees. And everyone sits in a circle line. There's a place for walking, there's a place for sitting. They don't combine these two areas. The ladies are in one area, they have their walking area, the men have their walking area, and then there's a sitting place for everyone. And it's very nicely arranged. And nothing goes on, the job. is some dire emergency, someone will come in and make some, or say something to someone. But the understanding is this is Java, nothing else goes on. And so everyone has that understanding. And so when that kind of collective consciousness is focused, then when you're chanting like that, even if you go a little off, the environment is so conducive to bring your consciousness back just by bringing it so focused on that. So we want to create, or try to create, that kind of atmosphere where we're able to chant and get support from the environment, and not the environment being a struggle against our ability to hear. So, of course, that's a practical thing. But it's something that we should consider. If you, well, many of you I know live, most of you do, they live in your own home. One of the things you don't want to do when you're chanting is to chant in the area where you do your day-to-day activities. Because as soon as you see something that's related to something in your day-to-day life, then the mind will go to that and start thinking of some way around it. So have an area, Satchitananda Swami calls it, create your sacred space. Create your sacred space. And that's a place where all you do is chant. Whether you're in a temple room or another room that's designated, and it's free from all other forms of distraction. Because if you're wondering, japa means meditation. It's not simply trying to, you know, mouth the words and finish a bunch of numbers. It's a meditation, it's an absorption. If we want Krishna's mercy, that's what we have to do. That's the austerity of the sage. The scriptures are full of austerities, but it says that if you perform this one austerity, what is that? Always remembering Krishna. And how best to remember Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a purport on this verse, always remember Krishna. He says, always remembering Krishna means remembering Krishna every day. So practicing remembering Krishna every day helps us to remember Krishna always. So the best way is, the recommended way, is to chant the Holy Names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare.
Chant softly, chant loudly, chant to hear. Don't chant too loud when you just feel nervous. But chant when you can somehow or other capture that mind in the sound. Sometimes if we chant too softly, the mind is just, it can't pick up on the sound. And if we chant too loudly, it's just like the sound's going, and the words are trying to catch it, you know. So you're down here, it's way out there. So connect the sound. So put the ears right here. Focus. Let's maybe get some close to this and go like this. But keep, the sound is right here. And so you want to put those ears right there on that sound vibration. And don't worry about ecstasy. I'm not feeling it. That's all right. It's not necessary. Ecstasy is not required. If you're, the ecstasy of chanting is the ability to hear the mantra. That is the ecstasy. Just by hearing nicely, that is perfect. And by continual hearing, the ecstasy will increase. Don't think, where's the ecstasy? Don't worry about that. That's Krishna's department. He's the distributor of ecstasy. So this is some features that we can use in our day-to-day. So there is radar japa, there is jibber japa, and there's taipower japa. Now I'll give you some taipower japa is like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. denote that place says. Jedya is another name he says is sleep. He said, sometimes we're sleeping and we try to change. So there's a certain feature of concentration that connects with sleep. If you're tired and you start to concentrate, you will fall asleep. Why? Because concentration slows down the rhythm of the mind. The mind has different brain waves, and the brain has different waves, alpha, beta, or theta, and delta waves are the delta of the waves of meditation. And delta are the slowest waves, but sleep is also in delta. So if you're tired, you're going to bring your consciousness down to sleep. If you're concentrating, you're going to bring your consciousness down slower. And if you get back to the point of meditation, perfect meditation. He's in ecstasy. Look. So be careful. If you're tired, you're best to somehow or other. There's different things you can do to try to stay there. But Bhaktivinoda Thakura concludes this by saying, if you're too tired to chant, then take rest and chant here. And he says, don't force it, it becomes too much. But if you're a little tired, then you can find it by either walking or putting some water on your eyes or putting something to separate. When you slow it, when you start to concentrate, you're slowing the rhythm of the brain down, and you're also coming closer to the sleep state too. Perfect meditation is the mind is completely awake and it's completely peaceful. Complete alertness for utter peace. You can understand that. It's like you're there and you're separate from your consciousness or from your mind. You're just there perfectly, and you're aware of everything, and everything is so peaceful. But if the mind is tired, it's going to take you down to the unconsciousness, so be careful with that. So these are some of the techniques for these days. Chant here, bring the mind back, and take shelter of the holy name. But back to that one mantra thing, it's very important to understand. If you find yourself becoming inattentive, slow down and go for one mantra again. Pick up the concentration on one mantra and then again begin your concentration. It's not that we have to go slow, we have to go when we say concentrate. So, each person may be slightly different how best they can chant. But these are some techniques to do. And you can use the humility, calling out for the mercy of the Lord, and waxing as much as you can attention is the main features that allows us to approach Krishna. Now there's much more that we can say. I think my class is at 4 o'clock. So it's about 11 minutes from now. Any questions? Comments? Conditions? Yes, Martin. And then?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a question that I have in my mind. If we don't have to worry about how many yamas we do, then why do we not think about us having needs?
Having needs? Yeah. We have five, what we say, knowledge acquiring senses. There's six working senses and five knowledge acquiring. The knowledge acquiring senses are sound, hearing, speaking sound, seeing, touching, tasting, and feeling. So when we're chanting, we're bringing in two at least. We're bringing in hearing and speaking. We're checking the hearing. Now, the meeting brings in the third one, touch. So when we touch the meeting, we're helping to bring in the third sense, which helps to bring in concentration. And then it's also a means for counting. What is that verse? Shri Vasacharya's prayers to the six Goswamis. Sankalpa. Sankipurna. Sankipurna Kananamani. Yeah, thank you. It is one of the verses of the Goswami's life describing that they, Sankip is the cow. And there's also a verse in another scripture that said that one should make numerical vows in the process of chanting, which helps us to commit ourselves to the process of hearing and chanting. So chanting means the cow also. Radha's mom tells one story where he was in Vrindavan one day, and he was walking up the hill, and there was a lot of mud, and he lost his counterbeams. So he didn't have any counterbeams. So the next day, Prabhupada was also there at the time. So the next day, Prabhupada was giving a lecture. He was sitting there thinking, well, you know, I'll just chant without counterbeams, I'll just count in different way, I'll count my fingers. And he said it was most amazing. He was just thinking about it. Prabhupada, in the middle of his lecture, went like this with his beams and said, he indicated, get counterbeams. He said, look right at me, and he just knew what I was thinking, and he said, counterbeams. So the acharyas recommend that we keep numerical count on the beams. And the beams help us to focus our sense and touch on the common beams.
Thank you. We heard that we should listen to our mind.
We should listen to everyone else's mind either. We try to listen to the spiritual masters.
How do we know what instruction is being told, whether it is from the mind or from the intelligence?
The intelligence is the feature of purified intelligence. There's material intelligence and spiritual intelligence. So spiritual intelligence echoes the instructions of the spiritual master, the words of Krishna coming through scripture. That is the intelligence that we listen to. The mind is speaking based on the intelligence, then that is actually correct. We can follow that. As long as it applies. Because there are many features of intellectual messages, you have to see how it applies. But if it's not coming from Guru, if it's not coming from scripture, if it's not coming from Krishna, then we can say it's simply a combination of our own mental understanding and conceptions. Maybe somewhat similar, but it's not the same. Like, I'll give you an example. 16 rounds a day. That means I can chant an evening. Well, what's that, 16 rounds a day? So, that means I got all day to do 16 rounds. Right? No. That's not the instruction. Instruction is chant early. Chant during the Brahma Muhurta hour. And Prabhupada said, you should try to finish your rounds by 10, 8 in the morning. Because as you keep your rounds to the later part of the day, you're more concerned with getting things done in the practical way. And those other rounds sometimes take very long. And I've got an experience where I had one around 11 and it's like 8 o'clock in the evening. That round was like 2 hours. So the instruction is 16 rounds a day, but there's another injunction which allows us to chant nicely, or it brings about an opportunity to chant nicely, and chant early in the morning. So that's how the mind can somehow appear to be somewhat giving us the right understanding of God. Therefore, sometimes we have to consult and see if it's actually correct when something is something like that. Thank you. Just one more now, can I?
As you just mentioned, how we should chant for your Brahma Murta, get all 16 rounds done, and like Vishram can set that. So now it's making me think about how earlier you were saying how the following of the footsteps of the Acharyas is taken up for different ashrams, barnas maybe, but these were the ashrams. So at this point, has brought something to my memory that Prabhupada told one of his householder devotees when they were saying, oh, so I was wondering if for persons, especially household, obviously, brahmacharis and sannyasis don't have an excuse, but at least.
I totally agree with you.
But at least for householders, especially a lot of women, they're cooking for their husband, their children,
they're going to go to school,
and
they've
got household to do it. They might have to begin their job until 10 a.m. You
know, their work schedule might be such that they do
chant
throughout
the day. So I was just wondering if you could maybe
elaborate a little
bit about how something
might
be a little different according to
the individual circumstances. Yeah, ideally, early morning, because the Bhagavad Gita is more prominent within the atmosphere. From 2 o'clock to 10. 2 to 10, Lord Buddha's 10 to 6, passion 6 to 2 in the morning is a little bit less. But we have a day is somewhat fine. So that's why meditation is conducive to learning nothing else, and the mind is somewhat free from these things. But in terms of those who are practically dealing with day-to-day struggles with family and other responsibilities, I have learned fanatics. So I have to say, yeah, but I think the consideration is, I'll try my best to get it, to start my job early. At least I should start it early. I may not be able to finish it early, but at least I can start it early. And if there's responsibilities, then, but in that, the problem with, or not the problem, the struggle is that in that kind of situation, you have to have a schedule. Because if you have so many responsibilities, as you get involved in your responsibilities, they just keep coming. So you have to make a designated time for, that's about what I did. He said, okay, do it like this. Or when you get up and before every meal. He didn't say, well, just do 4 and then do 4 another time, another time. He said, regularly. If you're regulated, then you'll be able to chant what we say nicely, because every time, you know that time is for chanting. That time is for chanting. Yeah, so practically speaking, yeah, your point is required for those who live outside. But there is no excuse for those who live in the temple. No excuse. Not a little excuse. Yes. But you think the thing is about the last thing under the answer to your question is we have to be sincere. I sincerely want to chant my vows. I may not be able to do it early. But if we're thinking, well, it's not so important, I can just push it off to later. Then that's insincerity. that won't get it for most of us.
If anyone, why did anyone in 16 know? Why not 15 or 17? Or say, what was the equivalent of training?
Yeah, then the devotees ask Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said the acharya sets the standard. So just like we're following Sri Prabhupada's program for Krishna consciousness, if you go to the Sri Sampradaya, they're also Vaishnavas, but they have a different protocol. We go to Bhagavad, but also Vaishnavas. So each of the acharyas sets the standard for how the execution of devotional service should be done. So Srila Prabhupada is the founder of acharya, he has set the standard of 16 hours. For those who require, who want to seriously execute Krishna consciousness, one has to come up to that standard. It's not like you have to all of a sudden come up, but you should gradually come to that standard. So, to make, or I want to do 15 or 80. What you're saying to Krishna is that I want to do what I want. And you should like it whether you agree or not. Basically. But by following the acharyas, you're following Krishna. Because the acharyas represent Krishna. So the acharya says 16 hours, then the Krishna speaks. Okay? Sri Devi? Is there a microphone?
Thank you. Maharaj, my question is it important if you chant on the beads or on a clicker? I've heard that some disciples chant on clickers and they claim that
you want my opinion of clickers?
Yes, ma'am.
Click it off. I mean, people drive their car and whatever, and click, 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 click. You feel like you're actually doing something every time you click off. It's like an indication I achieved something. Click. I did clickers for a long while, but I just thought that it's just, people have different opinions of clickers. I'm not sure if this is Shastra injunction to go with clickers. I just don't like it. So that's why I'm giving it. I would rather just chant the holy name without a clicker or without beads of God. Walking or doing something or driving away. Just chanting. Now, if you're chanting, there's 16 rounds. It doesn't say 16 rounds on clicker. It says 16 rounds on beads. On beads. So the clicker is not a substitute for the beads. It's not. The beads are sacred. There's 108 beads. Each of these beads represent one of the 108 copies. The main bead is Krishna, it's the Krishna bead. So these beads are actually the gopis, or for those who are less, when we say Guru Vrindavan, they're the 108 Upanishads. So they actually represent a Shastra, or actually pure Vaishnava. So the beads are sacred. It's a sacred part of our conversation. Association with senior devotees, and how they do it, is that if you finish a half a round, then you can begin from the half point and go forward. If you haven't finished the half round, start from the beginning again.
Thank you.
That's what I understand.
with my phone by using something like AirPod. It enhances my hearing, my AirPods, using something like AirPod.
AirPods?
To enhance your hearing, my hearing functions.
Anything that enhances your hearing is good. That's the whole idea. So that's the principle. The principle is to hear what enhances it. That is the connection with the instructions you hear. Now I use earplugs on planes sometimes, and I find that it helps because I can dry out the noise of all the engines and I can hear better. But sometimes when I'm tired or I'm feeling a little tired, the earplugs make it harder for me to hear. So it depends on how I feel. So if it works for you, yeah. It's okay. As long as you're hearing better. Yes, Vinod, you come
on. Maharaj, I heard that when we are chanting with senior devotees, then it's better we are not in aura than them and we should hear them. Is it
true that louder than them or about any kind of senior devotees or any devotee? Actually, all devotees are senior. We should think like that. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was asked, how many disciples do you have? He says, I have no disciples, they are all my spiritual masters. Why? Because they teach me something. So we can learn from everyone. So we used to see every devotee and can do that way. We may treat devotees differently, but we can always learn from everyone. We can learn from another one is awesome. So Prabhupada actually says that when we're chanting, we should hear the sound of you, the names, and we should hear the sound of others also. Now, if you're chanting in a group and the sound is coming through, it's like, don't try to fight someone else's job coming into you. Just hear your own and allow that other sound just to be there. Don't try to. So we should try to hear our own japa, and the general principle is just hear others also. But don't try to hear it. You don't try not to hear it. Just let it be there. Focus on the sound of your chanting. If you fight it, you're making it difficult for you to hear your own sound. The mind is in that, how we say, unnatural state of trying to. Word of something. It doesn't allow meditation to develop in that kind of movement. So just, it's there, just chant. And so, who knows? As far as chanting louder than other devotees, you can see if you're disturbing devotees and chanting the song. Just look around and see if your chanting is too loud. You know, sometimes. The sound is right here. That's where it is. Just focus there. It could be louder or lower. Not like it's. I know it was one devotee in Newman Valley and he would say, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Like that. Oh, much. Oh, He said that every time. Of course, we don't want to see anyone cry. Sorry. But there was a note he used to chant. I mean, that how was he could chant? And we would say, oh, Vishnumurti Prabhu, you shut up. It was Vishnumurti. He could chant so loud. And so, yeah, there was a problem. And so, but, you know, we should be considerate. And if you see a disturbing scene, shut a little soft. Just right. Is that all?
Well, no, because most of the times when we sit for chanting, we forget to switch off the cell phones or cell phone rings or the
$50 fine. Now, there's a problem. One temple is that every time the cell phone rings, we have to sponsor the Sunday feast. It's really good. We're going to do some service too. So keep your cell phones on. You can sponsor the Sunday feast every time it goes off. It's $250. There's, that's the penalty. It's not a penalty. It's not an opportunity. But shut the phones. Jayadeva Maharaj, he said, if shut your phones off, if it rings, it's my fault. Yeah, he was just with me last week at the yoga class. He said, shut it off. Someone spoke right and he said, okay, I'm going to follow. He's really pretty strong. So, it's a disturbance. Please put your phones on silent mode when you feel that. Actually, that was planned. Thank you for coming in at the right time. It's just like that. You don't want your mind to come in, but you want somebody else's mind to come in. So shut it off. You're not missing anything. Really, honestly. This, the first times have changed. But when they first initially made phones, the sound of the ring has a certain quality in it that you can't ignore. The idea is that it rings in such a way that the mind says, cool, gotta go. You could be talking to some people, and there's a nice conversation, all of a sudden the phone rings and everything stops, right? It's like all of a sudden that becomes the one. Let's keep it off. Sell your phone. Sell yourself. Any other questions? Yes. We're going a little bit over time. None of our people will see this from our chanting. Okay? I'm just following your instructions. Thank you. Yes.
Not a focus wasn't controlling the mind, but isn't the mind falling that it gets forcing you?
Yeah, that's killing you. She brought that out very nicely this morning. It's Prabhupada's instruction that the mind protects the false ego. And the false ego uses the mind to keep itself the way it is, or to enhance its prestige. Yeah, that's what the mind's business is. To someone or other, fortify and preserve the false ego. So the mind has taken the position of the soul. So it's the block between us and Krishna. Now Krishna says, what is that verse? Once you elevate themselves by the mind and not degrade themselves, then mind is the friend of the conditioned soul, and his enemy as well. So your friend and enemy is only mind. So make your mind your friend. So in the process of chanting, then just keep it on the side and hear the silence. And don't let it interfere with the mind. There's nothing the mind can really help you with. As Dr. Gary also nicely pointed out, that when you're hearing nicely, Krishna will appear within your consciousness. This is Prabhupada's word and statement from the fourth chapter, that by hearing nicely, all of a sudden, there's the form of the Lord in your mind. The form you may recognize externally becomes fixed in your mind. It happens. It happens. So, yeah, the mind is just going to somehow or other make its own way. So that's why step number 5, 6 is neglect the mind. Keep it on the, what do you call it, the silent moment. Keep it on the silent moment. Yeah, the mind. Krishna goes with the whole 6th chapter. Krishna explains the nature of the mind. And again, Dr. Kelly pointed out, Krishna explains the mind should be, Krishna, Arjuna explains, or asks, says the mind is restless, turbulent, unsteady, and very difficult to control. I think to control the mind, Krishna is not controlling the way. Krishna says yes. Abhyasena tu kuntaya. Vairagya, Shigriyata, he says that by constant practice and detachment, what is that detachment? Detachment from sense gratification. So constant practice means when you start, it doesn't expect to achieve perfection. So don't be discouraged if, again, when you practice chanting, your mind starts doing this thing. Just constantly work on the principles that govern the temple of chanting. And gradually, the mind will start becoming friendly. The mind wants to glorify the Lord too, but the mind is conditioned not to. So it acts in the way it is conditioned. That's all. You're just trying to recondition your mind. Yes, I think that's the question. That's correct. Anything else before we end? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Dear Prabhupada, Shri Vaishnava, 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 Shri Vaish